The following program is sponsored by Bell and Pollock PC. Welcome to Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. Attorneys Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are ready to work for you. Reach Gary, Brad, and their team at championsofthepeople.com or by calling 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900.
Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. This is an injury show. We are injury attorneys, and we do this show to give you the information you need to fight the insurance company and win the war with the insurance company for the at-fault party, the party who creamed you from behind, made a T-bone accident, hit you head-on, spun your car, sent you to the emergency room. You need to know the rules. You need to know the playing field. That's why we do the show. And another thing is, you know, we cover on the show how insurance companies attack you, your claim, your injury claim, your medical records, and how they attack you and try to beat and defeat your claim. But I want to tell you, once again, you can win this war. We do it all the time. We've been doing it for over 30 years. We've helped people put their lives back together again for over 30 years. Bell and Pollock, our website, championsofthepeople.com. I tell you what, you can win this war, but you can't win the war if you just guess. You can't win the war against the at-fault insurance company unless you know the rules, the playing field, unless you have a navigation system. We call it a legal game plan, a strategy or strategies. The insurance company for the at-fault party who hits you, boom, sends you off to the emergency room. They have their own strategies. They have their own legal game plan. They're highly trained. This is no ordinary day or event for you, but it is for them. Makes sense that you need to know what to do. So therefore, today we're going to be talking about the bigger picture. I think you're going to find this fascinating because these insurance companies, for the at-fault parties, they control all the litigation. They control whether they settle. They make all the decisions. You know, the at-fault party, the one who hits you from behind, cause your injuries, you're going to be surprised to find out today that they don't have much to do after causing the accident. They have much to do with anything.
You're right. And, you know, there's a lot of times that people don't understand what's going on, but let's start with the basis of the insurance policy. And if anybody pulls out the insurance policy, Gary, what they're going to find is they're going to find a part within the contract that says you agree to cooperate with regard to any litigation that is going on. That means you have to return the calls to the insurance company. You have to agree with what they're doing. You have to agree with what they're saying. Now, you have the right to be truthful, so you don't have to fall into the adjuster's or somebody else's trap of saying, well, it's the other person's fault for some bogus reason. So you can tell them, look, I'm responsible. I did what I did, and that's the way it is, and there's nothing I can do about it. But you have to be cooperative with regard to returning calls, with regard to showing up at depositions, with regard to going to trial. And you don't get to decide whether you're going to go to trial. You don't get to decide whether or not the person you hurt and you ran into should get paid. The contract says those decisions are going to be made by the insurance company. And believe me, at that point, the insurance company is not that concerned about you. What they're concerned about is themselves, and they're concerned about whether or not they're going to have your cooperation so they can mitigate how much they pay.
Right. It's the way the system works. So let's take it from the perspective of the at-fault party, the one who rear-ended you, from the perspective of the person who rear-ended you. They have an insurance policy. They bought an insurance policy. So what do you buy insurance for? So if you have an accident or make a mistake, they pay. But you see, from the minute the crash happens, the minute they rear-end you, from the perspective of the at-fault party, they don't control anything anymore. They don't make any decisions. A lot of them don't even want to go to trial. They don't want to go to litigation. They just want their insurance company to pay you, the injured victim, and settle and be done with it. That's what they bought insurance for. So that's the first thing we want to teach you this morning. The at-fault party makes no decisions. So who makes the decisions? The insurance company for the at-fault party always says, well, you, Mr. At-fault party or Mrs. At-fault party, the one who caused the accident, have to cooperate with us. And then the law of Colorado and other states says that the insurance company is in control. So The minute you, the injured victim, are creamed and you're off to the ER and you got multiple physical therapy sessions, and you say, what happened to the at-fault party? Because many clients ask us that in our office. Wait a minute. This has completely changed and ruined my life. What about the at-fault party? Brad, let's talk a little bit about how these insurance companies, they make decisions on how to get the records, settlement, whether or not they're going to settlement, whether they're going to give you a lowball offer, and make their own insured go to trial.
Well, you know, I've seen situations where the at-fault party is informed that they've been sued, or they get the summons complaint, they give it to the adjuster, they send it. Usually what happens is you get in this crash, and if you cause the crash, you contact your insurance company, or your insurance company will contact you when they get notice because you've exchanged insurance information, and they ask you, and if you say it's my fault, I ran into the back end of them, I wasn't paying attention, or I was looking out the window, or I was texting, or I was doing something else, and I ran into them. The first thing the insurance adjuster is going to do is the insurance adjuster is going to take your statement, and they're going to tell you, okay, you don't say anything else, you don't do anything else, you don't talk to anybody else, you only talk to us, and that's it. Goodbye. And you say, well, that's it? Yep, goodbye. And they hang up the phone. And what's going to happen next is that then the at-fault party gets to wait to find out what the insurance adjuster and the insurance company has done with regard to their claim. And they don't have any say on what should be done. They don't have any say on who's going to be hired to represent them. They don't have any say about what kind of money is going to be spent to take care of the party that they harmed, that they ran into. They're not going to do any of that.
Right. You know, so the minute that you're rear-ended, the minute, the second, the microsecond that this person runs into you, that person, which we call the at-fault party, that person makes no more decisions, has nothing basically more to do with it. They have to give their deposition. They have to tell their side of the story. But the insurance company for the at-fault party then takes over. They decide if they're going to settle with you. They decide if they're going to pay you and how much for your injuries. And that's where it falls into. We've talked about many times before where the insurance company for the at-fault party, your medical bills are $15,000. Let's say they offer you $11,000, take it or leave it. And that doesn't even pay for your medical bills. It doesn't pay for your other injuries, damages, and losses. And then you are forced to file a lawsuit. And then you get an attorney. And then we've said before, that's when the insurance companies say, well, you, the injured victim, are greedy. And your attorneys that you hired are greedy. Everybody's greedy but them. And we said that before. Now, let's talk about the fact that you're put in this situation, and you, now the injured victim, think, and we've talked about these myths before, certainly somebody's going to take care of me. There's insurance. Certainly somebody's going to pay me. Certainly I wasn't at fault, and we've told you how they even try to blame you for the rear-end collisions. And so you can win this war, but understand, and Brad, let's do talk about this. The second this crash happens, you're in a fight now as the injured victim with the insurance company, not the person who hits you.
That's exactly right. If you've been injured, the person who hits you. Now, sometimes, you know, Gary, I guess we do have to say sometimes the person who hits you or the person who caused the accident will be amazingly belligerent or amazingly upset and amazingly mad.
We've had that.
And they've also at times been very militant during the litigation process and not want to deal with you, not want to cooperate. Other times, I believe that what's happened is the adjuster or somebody has encouraged them to be that way by speaking ill of plaintiff's lawyers or plaintiffs and saying, you know what's going on. Greedy plaintiffs' lawyers, all these greedy people want money. But most of the time, what you find is you find people who are willing to come in and tell the truth. Now, the concern you have is that by the time they get into a deposition and you start dealing with them, they've had everything tweaked in a way so as to help the insurance company avoid paying much money. And so, you know, when you're the injured person, you're in a fight with the insurance company to begin with. And that fight starts with not only the fact that they're not going to want to pay you money, but it also starts with the fact that they're going to want to tilt the facts, slant the field, put enough shade on the case to make it look like it was either your fault or you weren't hurt as bad, and to attack you. And the person who ran into you really isn't engineering that. They're not doing that.
No, they're not making those decisions. They don't even know what's going on most of the time. You know, and I tell you what, we've got them in our office before and say, do you know why you've been sued? No. Well, here, look at this offer from your insurance company before where they wouldn't even pay the amount of medical bills. Well, I didn't know that. Here's your insurance company saying we are going to have to file suit against you. You're the at-fault party. Well, I didn't know that. The insurance company for the at-fault party makes these decisions. You can give us a call anytime. We do injury cases all over the state of Colorado, all kinds of injury cases, and we have for years. 303-795-5900, 795-5900, our website, championsofthepeople.com. But this starts from the time the accident happens. It goes through how much they're going to pay for your property damage, your car, if they're going to settle with you, how much they're going to settle with you. And most people don't realize that insurance company is making all the decisions.
Well, a case in point is that one of the things we have a duty of when we're representing our clients is to determine whether or not we should put the uninsured or underinsured motorist coverage on notice. And we've talked about that before. You can get other shows and find out what we mean by that. Well, so one of the things we always ask the adjuster right out is, what's the policy limits? The adjusters say we won't tell you. We don't have permission from our insured. We'll have to see if we can get permission from our insured. Well, do you really need to have permission from your insured? And what if you don't give those limits?
Right.
We can talk about that right after.
Right. You know, so we're talking about policy limits, but next up we're going to talk about what's the duty or duties of the at-fault party? What are the duties? I can't tell you how many times people have said to us, Brad, Gary, you know, I've been injured. I'm still treating for 3 years, 2 years. What about the person who hit me? And our answer basically is they're out of the picture. They're sort of in the picture because they got to testify as to what happened in the accident and those sort of things. But they're out of the picture as far as making decisions. The decisions are made by their insurance company against you. They have a strategy. That's why you need a legal game plan. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Get a free copy of any of our books, but one of our books is called Legal Game Plan. We're going to be talking about the duties of the at-fault party. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com.
It's Mandy Connell, and it's time for Your Legal Minute, brought to you by my friends at Bell and Pollock. Listen to their show right here on KOA every Saturday at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. Our website is championsofthepeople.com. This is Your Legal Minute. Today, we're talking about distracted driving. What difference does it make? There's a place on every accident or injury form that the police fill out for distracted driving. They want to know. The insurance company for the at-fault party who injured you wants to know. Why do they want to know? Because it's difficult for them to beat your legal claim. They're out there trying to beat your legal claim. If you don't believe so, listen to our shows. Call us up. They are your enemy, your adversary. And don't fall for one of these myths. Myth is, I've been injured in an accident. Surely some insurance company is going to pay me. Wrong. They're going to fight you. They're going to try to beat you and defeat you. But one thing that you can use is if the driver that hit you was distracted. The police officer should know this. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com will help you.
Bell and Pollock. Find them online at championsofthepeople.com.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Here we go. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. This is our injury show. We do other shows to serve the community, but this show is an injury show. We're glad to do it. Welcome to this show. We're here to give you the information you need. You need to know what's going on. You need to know the rules, period. The insurance company for the at-fault party who's going to try to beat you and defeat you, they know the rules. They're trained. We've told you before, they have doctors. Some of them have doctors right down the hallway. Some of them have attorneys right next door. Some of them have in-house counsel, and then they turn the case over to outside law firms to beat you. But you can win this war. You can do this, but you and your attorney have to know the rules. It's like a navigation system in a car. You turn it on, you want to go from point A to point B. You want to get from point A to point B. You don't guess. You can't guess in this field. You're dealing with your life, your injury, your future. Therefore, you need a legal game plan. Get a copy of our book, any of our six books on our website, championsofthepeople.com. Today, we're talking about an accident. We're talking about a crash. Let's use a rear-end example. The at-fault party rear-ends you. You're sitting at a red light and you didn't even hear any screech marks. They hit you at 40 miles an hour. The insurance company's not going to take that lane down. They want to beat you. They don't like the facts that you got hit at 40 miles an hour, but they're going to beat you. But what are the duties of the at-fault party? What do they do? And we covered that a little bit in the first part of the show, but they have to. This is a big duty. They have to, quote, cooperate end quote, cooperate with their own insurance company. That's the insurance company for the at-fault party. That's the one who's going to beat you. But, you know, Brad, past cooperation, the at-fault party doesn't control the money, the settlement, the decisions, whether they force you to file a lawsuit and that sort of thing.
Right. They don't do any of that. That falls on the adjuster. Amazingly enough, most of those areas you just talked about, Gary, even the defense lawyer doesn't control. Now, the defense lawyer may have input, but it's become more and more the situation where when you talk to a defense lawyer and you say, hey, you know, what about paying a fair price or a fair amount to compensate these people? The answer is, well, I can't make that decision. I don't make that decision. It's a decision that's made by the adjuster. And, of course, the adjusters will start out with a low number. They always start out with a low number, and their low number is one that they're going to try regardless of what your situation is, because they're going to always try to see if you'll take something of a very little value for your injuries that you've encountered.
Right. And you talked about this lawyer, this defense lawyer. You've got the at-fault party, the person who rear-ended you. Who pays for their lawyer, Brad?
Well, that's, again, the adjuster is going to pay for the lawyer, or the insurance company for the adjuster pays for the lawyer. They're the ones that send them that. They get an hourly fee. The hourly fee is usually a competitive fee that's been bid on by the different lawyers. Now, some of them are in-house lawyers, and that means that companies like Farmers and State Farm and Geico and Progressive, and a lot of these law firms, they have their own lawyers that they have in their own offices that they pay, and those lawyers handle what are more or less what they consider to be run-of-the-mill or normal cases. If they get overloaded, they give them out to lawyers who've bid for their work, who've agreed to take a certain hourly rate. And they also give that to any lawyer when they have a conflict, or if they're looking at for some other reason, they want to get it over to what they call an out-of-house lawyer that is under contract instead of just an employee.
Well, a lot of people don't understand that the at-fault insurance company pays for and hires the lawyer to defend the person who hits you. The at-fault person pays for nothing. They don't pay for the settlement. They don't pay for their own attorney. And what's fascinating, you're going to discover later in the show, we're going to go into more detail, you can't even bring these facts up at trial. You're in trial. You're in a jury trial. They wouldn't pay your medical bills. They wouldn't even pay close to the amount of your medical bills. They forced you to file a lawsuit. They call you greedy. They imply, and if you've listened to our shows, they imply you're making things up. They imply you're a liar. They imply or state that you're a poor medical records historian. They attack your records. And they pay those lawyers to do that. Then when you get to trial, you can't mention insurance. And we're going to cover that later in the show. But look at this system. The person who hits you, rear-ends you, makes no decisions. The at-fault party insurance company makes all the decisions. Are they going to pay for your car? Are they going to pay for settlement? Are they going to dispute liability? Are they going to make you go to trial? Are they going to make their own insured, the at-fault person who hits you, go to trial? They make those decisions. They hire the attorneys. And you don't understand the system, but we do. And so when insurance company X is going to turn it to an outside law firm, there are certain law firms in Colorado, all over, and in this city of Denver that only represent insurance company X. And there are certain law firms that only represent insurance company Y and insurance company Z. And so they might have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases, and they're going to try to defend them all the same way and save the money. That's how they get rated. That's how they get judged on their performance. So one more time, Brad, let's talk about the fact many clients come in, Brad and I, and say, my life has been ruined. I want to know what is happening to the person who hit me. And when we tell them they don't make decisions, they don't pay for anything, they just almost can't believe it.
All right. And that comes back to one of the things I was talking about just before the break. They don't make decisions. So when an adjuster is telling you, we've talked to many times in radio shows saying, you know, find out if your adjuster, that when you're talking to the adjusters, just say, well, what are the policy limits? When they start asking for your medical records and when they start asking for your employment records, say, what are the policy limits of your insured? When they say, well, we'll have to get permission from our insured to release that, you have to understand the insured's not really going to make that decision. The adjuster is going to call up and give them their advice and going to tell them what they think they ought to do and going to discuss with them how they ought to do it. And the insured's going to follow that advice. And if the insured doesn't follow the advice, the at-fault party, the adjuster still has the right to make the decision on his or her own. Because the at-fault party is not making any real decisions once again, except for the rare times that you have somebody who is really, really upset about what happened or is really taking a position where they want to be actively involved and therefore they're fighting. Most of the time, they are innocent persons. When they get called into court, when they get called in for any type of hearing, when the court says, I want the clients here for this particular hearing, the at-fault party, really doesn't even know what's going on. They don't have any idea.
Right. Sometimes when we take their depositions, we ask the at-fault party, you know, trial's 2 months away. Do you know when the trial date is? No. They don't participate except to do their depositions and maybe give statements to the insurance company as to what happened. And boy, could we ever do a show on how statements are taken by insurance companies. We might do that someday, but that's a whole fascinating process by itself. But for today's show, the insurance company, for the at-fault party, the one who creamed you, ruined your life, caused you to have $20,000 in medical bills, potential surgery in the future, that insurance company is where your war is. But you can win this war. And we've done this for over 30 years, and we can help you win the war and navigate the system. You need to understand it. Your attorneys have to understand it, and they better understand it. Our telephone number, 303-795-5900, 795-5900. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. All of our books, all of our podcasts are on our website. We do other shows, and you can listen to them there. We've done shows on back injuries, neck injuries, concussions, fibromyalgia, trigger point injections, low back injuries, radiculopathy, radiating pain, anatomical changes in your neck, lordosis. You need to know these things. You can't just guess. So we're talking about the at-fault party. You know, sometimes, and Brad's right, he just said, we call up the insurance company for the at-fault party and say, what are your policy limits for this crash? We can't tell you. Sometimes Brad and I go contact the at-fault party. And we might write them a letter, we might call them on the phone and say, you know, your insurance company won't release your own policy limits to us. And the answer we get 99%+ of the time is, why not? That's what I bought insurance for. Why not? And so they're going to control it. They're going to control the information, and they're going to control how this goes down. Let's talk a little bit about when you get to trial. You can't bring up the word insurance.
Right. And so now we've got an insurance company lawyer, a person that's been hired by the insurance company, has been selected by the insurance company, who is going to tell the at-fault party what to do based on what the adjuster is telling the lawyer what to do. And you got an adjuster making the decisions on how the money's going to be paid. And that adjuster is paying the lawyer. So they're acting together to decide how the case is going to be carried out. And the last person they really consult with, the last person they're going to consult with is actually the person who caused the crash. A lot of times you find that it's only the day before a deposition that the person that caused the crash is told about the deposition and comes in or goes in and gets prepared for the deposition. They haven't seen the lawyer in between. They haven't seen the lawyer at all. Maybe they've had an initial phone call. Maybe they've had one initial meeting, but they haven't even seen the lawyer. They haven't talked to the lawyer. They haven't had anything. They got a letter saying, we've set a deposition. You got to get off work. Something that's going to surprise a lot of people is a lot of policies have in them a provision where they will pay you. That's right. They pay the at-fault party. They pay the injured the person who caused the injury. They pay that person money to come to the deposition. They pay them to be at court on a daily or per diem expense payment. And that person gets a per diem amount for missing work. So when you're sitting in their courtroom and you're watching a case, or when you're a juror, you look across the room and you realize the plaintiff's here not getting any money and is trying to get compensated. You realize that the plaintiff's lawyers are there trying to work for the plaintiff. The defense is being controlled by that adjuster who's sitting in the back and is sitting back there. Now, yes, the defense lawyer makes a lot of the decisions, but the adjuster is right there, and the adjuster is the one who's decided it's going to go to trial. The defendant has been made to come to court, probably doesn't want to be there, has been made to come to court, but the defendant is getting paid to be there. The person who caused the injury, who caused the crash, who hurt everybody, is actually getting paid by their own insurance company to be there.
All right, I want you to pretend like you're a juror coming up. You're going to be the juror. You're going to be in the jury panel. You're going to be listening to this evidence. You're going to see the injured party over here to your left. You're going to see the other attorney over here to your right, and the one that caused the accident over to your right. You're going to be the juror. right after the break. We'll be right back.